Well, Brendan, certainly down to the business end in the senior championship. Two games left, four teams, and well, the final coming up next weekend. Looking ahead to the first of the semi-finals is tonight. It's St Eunan's versus St Michael's. Has the potential, has it, to be one of the games of the championship?
Yeah, it's certainly a fascinating tie. St Michael's have come through, and they've come through with a system that's based on, you know, getting a lot of numbers back and playing defensively. St Eunan's may have been written off by in many quarters, you know, before the championship started, but they've come strong and they've been very impressive in their last two games. And, you know, they're going to go into the semi-final this evening with a lot of confidence based on the performance, particularly against Four Masters last Sunday. So it does promise to be a very interesting game. And some key battles, interesting contrast in styles, you know. So Eunan's will play more orthodox, traditional football. They'll line up as they do. And Michael's will go defensive, as we mentioned. Eunan's have kind of, their team has changed, Tom, an awful lot in the last few years. And they nearly have a three-tier team as regards experience now, where they've the likes of Rory and Raff, John Hearn, Conal Dunn, Mick Martin. And then they've another tier with Eamon Dock and Sean McVeigh, Connor Gibbons, these lads, and a younger tier, Rory Carr, Connor Morrison, these type of lads. So, you know, they have developed well. They've come good at the right time. They weren't impressive through the league. And it's a very difficult one to call, Tom.
Yeah. Looking at St Michael's, as we've seen them right through the championship, we saw them again last Sunday night against Dunloe. Blanket defence, literally, you know, everybody bar possibly Brian McLaughlin and Colin McFadden clinging behind the ball. Oisín Langan, I think, plays off them front too, but he's back helping out in defence. So it has proved a difficulty for a lot of teams so far this year to break down in the championship. How do you expect St Eunan's to approach it?
I think, you know, the only way to approach that is, you know, and Eunan's have the runners, is to run at them, endeavour to kick points from, you know, out from outside the blockade that they'll set up. But Eunan's have the players capable of running at them and maybe drawing frees, and Michael's will have to be very disciplined in the tackle, so they will in that respect. As you rightly says, Michael set up the last day that Brian McLaughlin, Colin McFadden playing inside, and the rest of the team, just as soon as they lose position, they filter back and create a screen that's very, very hard to break down. And any team that has come up against St Michael's thus far has found that so they have. And, you know, but apart from that, Michael's have an awful lot of talent. And, you know, I've alluded to this earlier on when we spoke about the championship. With the quality of footballer that St Michael's have, and you look at some of the defenders, Peter Witherow, Anton McFadden, Kieran Gallagher, you know, and then you have in the middle of the field, you have Christie and Martin McElhenney. They've such quality players. And then, of course, Colm Antony, Brian McLaughlin playing the inside line, and some other good young fellas to sort of mixed in between. They've such quality over the field that you feel that if they did open up, they may be able to hurt the team, but they seem intent on playing this defensive system. And I suppose if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of thing. They've been getting through games, they've been winning them, and albeit by small margins on occasions kind of, but they're coming up against a different animal tomorrow evening in St Eunan's. St Eunan's look like a team that are up for it at the minute, Tom.
Yeah. And as you said, it's a St Eunan's team very much in transformation. But the old guard, I was just checking my records, Conal Dunn, what, top scorer? That's something of a change, isn't it, really? Not noticed as a top scorer. 15 points, I think, so far out of four games.
Yeah, you know, Conal Dunn is such a model of consistency for St Eunan's. If you go back over the last 10 or 12 years, he is the man that really, and his honest endeavour on the field too, because Conal isn't just scoring. I think maybe if Conal was left as a sole purpose of getting scores, that could be doubled. But you will see tomorrow evening, you'll see Conal Dunn back in his own half back line, full back line, breaking balls and breaking up moves. So, you know, Conal does a lot more for that. He's probably one of the most honest players that I've ever worked with or had the pleasure of working with. So, you know, but the last day, what was interesting from Eunan's point of view is their scores came from all angles. They got a number of different guys on the score sheet, and they have players that are capable of doing that. Sean McVeigh is playing very well this year, as is Conor Gibbons, the two wing half forwards. Darren Mulgrew played a role the last day whereby he was marking nearly Carroll Lacey, who was at centre half back, and he excelled at that job. So it'll be interesting to see what role they'll make him play tomorrow evening. But again, a very good footballer who is big, strong lad and is really developing. So, you know, there are so many vagaries here. Will Union start with Big John Harron on the edge of the square? Because again, he does cause defences trouble, or will they decide to hold him back? They also have options on the line when you look at the likes of Mark McGowan that was able to come in, and Donoghue Gallagher coming on the last day. Kieran Sharkey, experienced player, these lads. So, you know, there are options there. Unions can't twist it around. And Unions, you know, they will get men behind the ball too, Tom. They're not afraid to defend in numbers and to get men behind the ball, but they'll set up as forward playing as they can.
St. Michael's obviously very anxious to make the big breakthrough. There's a general feeling that maybe a championship has eluded them already, and with the squad of players they have, that they're good enough. What have they to do tomorrow or this evening to make the breakthrough?
Well, they've been, as we discussed, they've set up very defensively. They're the one team of the last four that are remaining, Tom, that haven't won a championship over the last, like, if you go back to 2005, apart from Gweedore interception in 2006, the other three clubs have dominated every championship since then. So Michaels have to get over that, and maybe it's a mental barrier for them at this stage, but they have to get over that mental barrier and push on. They're going to need big games from their big players, of that there's no doubt. You know, Christie, Colm Anthony, Martin McElhenney, Peter Withrow, these guys are really going to have to stand up to the plate for them tomorrow and make a statement for themselves. But it's a mental thing as much as Anthony is for Michaels. You look at the quality that they have at their disposal. I was reading somewhere that 9 of the 21 team that beat Glenties in 2009 are now starters with this team. So, you know, they're a relatively young team with a nice sprinkling of experience through them too. There's no doubt in their football ability. I think that if they play too defensively, they will invite Unions on, and I think that they're going to have to open out at some stage, and that's where I think their strong attributes lie, Tom.
And do you think that St. Unions will cope with the system and cope with the runners, because they have their strength is, okay, we're obviously concentrating quite a lot on their defensive setup, but their strength is breaking fast in the speed and pace in the half back line, and Michael McGinley, Anthony McFadden, you have got Christy Toy and Martin McElhenney in the middle of the field, and that is their strength as well. Like, it's not all about defence.
Absolutely it's not. No, and you know what's noteworthy about looking at both these sides, St. Michael's are probably the biggest physical side that Unions have encountered this year on their championship run. They're big, strong lads. You look at them, they fill their jersey. They're well-developed young fellas. Unions, similarly, like, you know, there's no doubt about that, and they have that power. And what was good about Unions the last day, and what I really, really liked, was their intensity in the tackle and their aggressiveness in the tackle, where they were able to turn ball over. But Michaels are definitely a different animal to what they've come up for. The midfield battle is going to be crucial. You look at Christie and Martin coming out against Rory and Kevin Raff. That's a big, big battle. I don't think Unions have come up against that type of midfield so thus far in the championship, Tom. And I think whoever can get control in that middle sector is going to go a long way to determine the final result tomorrow.
And fair to say, it would have been that Rory and Kevin Rafferty, defence wouldn't be their forte.
No, in actual fact, I would disagree, Tom, because, you know, I know Kevin Raff from working with him, and Kevin Raff is probably the best tackler in the game in the county at the minute. He has very quick hands, he played basketball, and he's able to get his hand in and out of the tackle. And Rory, to be fair too, has developed his game over the last few years, probably under the management of Jim McGuinness, whereby his tackling and his work rate backwards has developed an awful lot. But without a doubt, these guys don't, and you know, Kevin Raff and Rory Kavanagh are well able to defend and get back. And you have strength back there too, you know, they're physically strong. You've Mick Martin, Eamon Doherty. They're the spine of the team, the spine of the defence. And you'll probably look at Mick Martin will probably take up Colm Anthony tomorrow. And it'll be interesting then what Unions will deploy. If Michaels play Brian McLaughlin, which it looks like they will inside, will they go with Sean Hensley, or will they bring back Eamon Dock? Because they're going to have to bring back someone with a bit of strength in order to counteract that strength that Brian and Colm will show in there. So a lot of interesting matchups, and tomorrow or this evening will tell all that, Tom.
And when it comes down to it, where do you see it going? Who do you see it going through?
Again, and it's not a case of sitting on the fence. It's a really, really difficult one to call. If I was pushed, I would probably say that Union's experience at this level, of their belief of pushing themselves over the line, is probably a slight advantage to them. And I expect it to be a low-scoring, tight game. But maybe Unions should just come out ahead with a score or two to spare.
Before we move on to the second game, the second semi-final, which is on tomorrow in O'Donnell Park, in terms of St. Unions, has St. Unions come up against a team as strong as St. Michael's yet in the championship?
No, is the simple answer to that, Tom. They're particularly physically strong, but probably not of the same quality. Okay, they did play a Glenties or a Niamh Connell team down in Glenties in their third pool game. But again, both teams are quality. It was a dead rubber. There was no significance to it. Unions rested a good few of their players that day. So this is a big, big test for them. But it has to be said, Tom, too, that going into last weekend's game against Four Masters, it was considered to be a big test with them, and they dealt adequately with that. They blew Four Masters out of the water in a short period at the start of the game when they needed to, and they showed them who were bosses. It's not going to be quite so easy tomorrow, because St. Michael's are probably a step up from that, and I expect it to be a cracking opening 20 minutes.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on to the second of the semi-finals is the champions, Glenswelly. They've made it through, and well, really, I suppose, except for their opening day defeat against Kilcar, haven't really, they've come through with flying colours, or they've come through handy enough, I suppose, really. Niamh Connell, I suppose, the one biggest question is the midweek game. Most people have the opinion that that's really, you know, puts Niamh Connell on the back foot and is a big disadvantage to them.
Yeah, Tom, I think it could be a decisive factor, you know, to have to play three championship games at this level and this intensity within the space of 7 days is a big ask for Niamh Connell. They've done exceptionally well, they've come as far as they had. And, you know, their game is a high-intensity game too, in that they are very defensive. They set up very defensive, and we'll discuss that. But from the point of view of, you know, that a game Wednesday even against Ardra, their local neighbours, it was a physical, tough enough game. Perhaps they'll look back and say maybe they could have closed out that game a bit quicker. But they ended up holding on by the skin of their teeth. There's also a doubt over, did they pick up a couple of knocks? There's a doubt over Leon Thompson, Marty Boyle, a couple of these lads. So there are concerns because the recovery time isn't there, Tom, and that's the problem. When you pick up a knock, be it just a bruising or whatever, to get over that in the space of a 3 or 4 day time frame is very difficult. So whether they'll be fit to take the field tomorrow, and even if they are fit, are they going to be physically tired? And then there's the mental tiredness on top of that too, Tom, you know, because it is a big factor. These games, you're thinking about them all day, you're going to bed, you're thinking about them, you're waking up in the morning, you're thinking about them. So it does drain you in every possible way.
Looking at Niamh Connell, they have probably, you know, for the squad of players they have, they're probably the poorest scoring record in the championship. You know, they're probably a good enough defensive record, but they have this habit of playing very well in the first half, hanging on in the second half, and have just squeezed through, as we've said, the midlife very difficult for themselves in all their games.
Yeah, and particularly the few games I've seen them play, and they've played some very impressive football at periods, and they have shown. Their capabilities, that they can go out and play some very impressive football. I was really impressed with them the first half, the last day, and they were 7-2 up at half time and pushed that out to 8-2. But they seemed to invite the team on then, instead of maybe going for the killer punch. They've won their group games by 2 points, 3 points, and 3 points. I think I'm right in saying that. They struggled to get over Ardra, despite being obviously the better team on Wednesday evening. And, you know, if you were at the game, I think it'd be fair to say that they were so much stronger, but they ended up just holding on basically at the end of the game. So the reason for that, Tom, is that they're set up very defensively. When they create a lead, they basically sit back on it. Now, that's fine, but when you're coming up against better teams, and teams with someone like Michael Murphy, with Copper McFadden, these type of guys, they can hurt you, and they can hurt you very quick. And if in a 3 or 4 minute spell, they can hurt you, they can do queer damage on the scoreboard. So Niamh Connell are going to have to be very aware of that tomorrow. They're obviously, and because of the tiredness, means they'll probably even set up as more and more defensively tomorrow, because they may not have the legs to get all up and down the pitch as quick as they would like to. If Marty Boyle is out too, I think he's been a key player for them. He's been absolutely superb in the last few games, and it'll be interesting to see how defensive they do set up against this Glenswelly team.
Talk to me about Glenswelly. They've come through, as I said. They lost their opening game, but they bounced back. And I know probably the Bundoran game is probably a one-off, you know, and probably, you know, skews the statistics, really, I suppose. But what do you make of Glenswelly this year?
Difficult to ascertain. You know, you look at the way they played against, was it St. Michael's out in Glenswelly? They were poor for periods of the game, but they showed a lot of character to come through it. And that was a day about character. It wasn't a day for flash football, because it was so defensively set up. The last day against Termin, Tom, you know, it was really a non-event, because they just blew them out of the water. I don't think Glenswelly moved out of second gear. A lot of talent in this Glenswelly team. You know, you have the two Kelly lads, Keelan and Leon. You're looking at Michael Murphy up top. But Copper has been playing very well for them too, so he has. And then you have Darren McGinley scoring you know, a guy that's capable, that he seems to be, he's lined out with number five in his back the last day, but still came in and got the two goals. He was at the end of the moves that got the two goals. But it's at the defence that they've kind of impressed me more so this year, because I think they've developed there, and I think it was an area of concern for them down through the years. And I mentioned it before, Eamon Ward has pulled that whole defence together. He's a very sensible playing fullback, and he seems to just gather the whole thing around himself. Shorty McDade then, and you know, a lot of experience in the fullback line too. Joe Gibbons out centre back, picked up a bit of a knock last week, but I think he'll be okay for this weekend. So Glenn Swilly, there's no doubt about their qualities, and you know, they've won two championships in the last few years. They were in the Ulster final, and you know, did very well in the Ulster Club Championship last year. So there's no doubt in their capabilities. And it comes back to the thing, if Michael Murphy is playing, you know, they have that advantage on any team for a start. So how they set up tomorrow, or how this game will go, how they'll cope with the Glenties defensive system, is going to be obviously the big factor here. Will the, you know, if Murphy plays inside, we saw with CJ Malloy the last day, Mardrap put big ball in on top of him, and suddenly he was swallowed up by four or five players. And, you know, CJ impressed me.
He was very effective.
He was very effective. He impressed me, and his honesty and endeavour to get the ball was very good. Unfortunately for him, he was just shut down every time he got it. And, will they be able to do the same to Murphy? But the problem there is Murphy will come out the field then, and he'll try and run at them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and you know, big Neil in the middle of the field. He's been such a consistent performer for Donegal this year and Glen Swilly. You know, have Glenties got the tall guys in the middle of the field to compete with him? It was interesting, Tom, too, looking back at the Glen Swilly kick-out strategy last Sunday in the park. They basically funneled everyone up the middle of the park and tried to pick out either Murphy or Gallagher on the left or the right wings. And guys were breaking out of this group. They are missing their normal keeper, Philip O'Donnell. And Jared McGrenna has been on. And, you know, I don't think he's conceded too much in way of goal. I don't think he's conceded a goal. But their kickouts are a bit of an issue, and I don't think they'll get away with that type of strategy against maybe Glenties tomorrow.
Mm. And the key battles, obviously, who takes up Murphy is one of them. Obviously, you know, the midfield is another one.
Yeah, and we mentioned Big Neil in the middle of the park. You're looking at Leo McClune, Anthony Thompson, who was absolutely superb last Saturday in the drawing game, but had a quieter game in the replay, probably lining out in the middle of the park for Glenties. So, you know, it really is a key area in this game, like who can get on the front foot, who can push their team forward on the attacking foothold here. And it's a difficult call. You would think Glen Swilly have the experience here and may be able to shade this area, but again, they're going to be coming up against this Glenties defensive rear guard thereafter.
Mm-hmm. But given that Niamh Connell have played the game during the week and have those injury doubts, does the scales tip a little bit in favour of Glen Swilly?
I think you'd have to say that, Tom. Yeah, I think, you know, Glen Swilly are going in fresh. They weren't tested last Sunday. They're going into this game fresh. And along with that, Tom, they've had an opportunity to size up Niamh Connell twice. And they're meticulous in their preparation in that respect. So they will have had a good look at Niamh Connell. They'll have discussed it all week. Niamh Connell have had maybe a couple of nights to look at Glen Swilly, because they couldn't take their eye off the ball when they were playing Ardra. So I think all them little things will favour Glen Swilly, and what will probably be a low scoring game, you would expect Glen Swilly to come through in the end tomorrow, yeah. Tom.
So recapping again, you're looking at a Glen Swilly St. Junan's final, are you?
That's what you would be looking, thinking maybe at this opportunity, but there's a possibility of any combination. Yeah. And you know, all these combinations apart from, you know, have met in finals in previous years. So whatever combination comes through, it's going to throw up a good final, because you have good quality left. There's good quality individual players left in the championship, Tom. So really looking forward to this evening and tomorrow.
Brilliant. Thanks a million. I'm just going to hop in next door to knock that off.